Yeah, no, it sounds funny. It's a three-parter.
Because I can't get anything right tonight, dude. It's like, fuck.
Alright, this is what they were playing at the club, yo. If you are gonna go out to a club and get super fucking high with your friends, do you wanna hear this? Wheeler Walker, no, I did not want to hear that, but, or you could have this, you could have this.
Hey, you guys, it's Greg. You might have noticed I'm not there. That's because I'm sick. I'm not super sick, but I am getting over the flu, and I have a bit of a cough. Let me see if I can get one up for you. Yeah, there's one. Anyway, in my present condition, I didn't think it was wise to be around any of the Kim Joneses.
All right. Do you guys ever miss Anthony Bourdain? This one went down before he passed away.
You went hard. Anthony Bourdain does not fuck around. You know what's really incredible? That guy's addicted to jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
It's like 90% of what he was talking about. He just wanted to talk about jiu-jitsu. He started when he was like 58 or 57 years old. Now he's 59. And he's just every day training. He trains when he's on the road. He goes to these places like Bozeman, Montana, and he finds like a local group of guys, and he goes and rolls with these guys. He's a madman.
Didn't his wife come into it?
Yeah, his wife is...
a badass? Yeah. Long live Anthony Bourdain. Alright. So, who's listening that's ever had a shrink? Have you ever had a shrink, Maul?
Persuasion. I sit on a sofa. She's sits on a chair, and it's called an hour, but it's really only 50 minutes.
When do you fuck her?
Oh, no. It's, I talk to her about my problems. It's
and
about...
She still wants to have sex with you after that?
No. Stu, you're going down the wrong path here. I have emotional problems.
Oh,
yeah.
We don't need to talk about that.
No, I really don't want to talk about it. There's a woman.
You're not going to touch me, are you?
No.
I swear to God, if you touch me.
I'm not gay. I have a problem. My dad was, he wasn't there. He was there physically.
Oh, hey, you know.
But no, emotionally, he wasn't there. So there's a woman. She's a nice Jewish lady. And she has an office in Beverly Hills adjacent.
You go, is that a shrink?
Yeah, therapist, and it's like 100.
Are you messed up in the head?
No, I'm trying to get better. I'm trying to get better at being a person, and it's like $110 an hour, and it's like 50 minutes.
Just go to the gym, man. What's the matter with you?
And I tell her my problem. Listen, you can't spend all your money on fixing up your jet ski.
Listen, jet ski. Jet ski. I want to get one of those jet skis. Any hoozles. All right, ready? Do you like pure blue meth? I mean, like Breaking Bad shit. Like, shit.
Fuck through awareness, you know, through realizing... You know, so parents are always teaching us things. Sometimes it's how to live, how to be a respectable person, and how to present yourself, how to find someone that you're attracted to and be on equal footing with them, looking for a role model in your parents sometimes, in good situations. Or they can also teach you what not to do, how not to behave.
Right.
And in many cases, that was my upbringing. My mother was an alcoholic. My father had some... of course, the abandonment, but he had ego issues, and there was alcoholism, and it creates a whole different environment for them. And I could look at that and go, okay, that doesn't work. That just destroys everything. Step away from that and go the opposite direction.
When, and this is getting a little cathartic for me, but when did you realize you were on your own? Like, that's... feeling,
yeah.
That no child should feel at 10, 11, or 12, like, oh, shit, I'm on my own.
Yeah, well,
you must have had, that must have sunk in at some point early.
Yeah, about, I guess I was 13 when I realized, okay, so my mother is physically present, but not emotionally present. There's nothing really there holding me, connecting me to her. My father is physically gone, so... All right, how do I manage? And that's what started me on a spiral of being introverted and not being the person I felt I should become and should live my life as. And all the way through junior high and high school, I was a wallflower. I was invisible because I was very insecure. Everything that I thought my world was about up until age 11, and I had a good childhood. These two people who were my parents were actually hands-on, loving people. And then it just exploded. It's almost as if they had a car accident and they both died because it was empty. It was gone.
That guy is an incredible actor. I got to give it up to him. But, I lived in Coronado. I left. I'm about to sell my place in Nada. Jim Morrison's family, his dad was in the Navy. He was an admiral in the Navy. And Jim bailed and never went back. His brother lived in Coronado after
you know, this is after Jim had died, but I still served his brother drinks at the bar at a local restaurant where he sold, like, Jim Morrison t-shirts with these little, like, not real emeralds or rubies or something, but just these little plastic, like, you know, like costume jewelry. And he put them in the eyeballs of these Jim Morrison t-shirts, and he's all living off his brother's fucking coattails after his brother passed away. And he was a total drunk. But he bailed and moved to Hawaii. That's where he lives right now. His brother's still alive. But my mom was an aircraft mechanic for the Navy, and she could take apart an F-4 and put it back together. And she did that long enough for the Navy. You know, those are the jets that take off the aircraft carriers that we park in Nauta. And she got promoted to move to Japan into a big old house where she would just buy parts for all the other mechanics because she knew all the parts and stuff, and so they gave her a kick-ass job finally. But she died of cancer at the age of 55. But Nancy Kazlonis Fallon, she was a warrior. She had 3 kids. There's no dad. And started at $15 an hour. And sounds fun, right? Anyways, just want to let you guys know. Let's get to one more sound bite.
I would like to tell you about Texas Radio and the Big Beat. It moves into the perimeter of your sacred, sincere, and dedicated smile like a calm veteran of the psychic war. He was no general, for he was not old. He was no private, for he could not be sold. He was only a man, and his dedication extended to the last degree. Poor, pretentious soldier, come home. The dark Los Angeles evening is steaming the church that we attended. And I miss my boy. Stupid in green. What the color green? When I watch the TV and I see helicopters swirling their brutal and bountiful sensation over the fields and the comic walls, I can only smile and fix a meal and think about the child who will one day own you. In conclusion, darling, let me repeat, your home is still here, inviolate and certain, and I open the wide smile of my remembrance of your lunging thought.
Yeah, Jim was a hippie and his dad was in the Navy, and his dad was a fighter pilot and did some time over in Nam. Jim was singing crazy songs while he was in Nam, and he was famous, and so you know his dad heard all of his songs and fucking had to listen to that shit. The Doors were famous, man. Need a break. But, 2 more and then we're done.
The silk handkerchief was embroidered in China or Japan. Behind the steel curtain. And now one can cross the borderline without proper credentials. This is to say that we're all sensate and occasionally sad. And if every partner in crime were to incorporate promises in his program, the land might end and all our friends would follow another program. Who are our friends? Are they sullen and slow? Do they have great desire, or are they one of the multitude who... walk, doubting their impossible regret. Certainly, things happen and reoccur in continuous promise. All of us have found a safe niche where we can store up riches and talk to our fellows on the same premise of disaster. But this will not do. No, this will never do. There are continents and shores which beseech our understanding. Seldom have we been so slow. Seldom have we been so far. My only wish is to see far Arden again.
Yeah, what else you got?
And this next part will be done in a woman's voice.
Oh, Jim, really?
The truth is almost true.
All right, Joe, hold on here, hold on. That's enough sound bites. I'm sorry for the three-part show. It's very hard for me to do the sound bites, believe it or not. And that's enough sound bites, Joe. I'm going to end it with you guys like Bo Diddley? You know who Bo Diddley is? Well, here's with Jim Morrison.
Hey, gentlemen.
We are going to get one.
Now, the subject of this song is something all of you have seen one time or another. It's an old roadhouse. And we're down in the South, or in the Midwest, or maybe on the way to Bakersfield. And we're driving in a 57 Chevy to an old roadhouse.
Ooh,
you dig it?
57 Chevy.
You know, it's about 1:30, and we're not driving too fast, but we're not driving too slow either. We got a six-pack of beer in the car, a few joints, and we're just listening to the radio and driving to the old roadhouse through nature. Dig it?
Dig it.
Well, I want to tell you people about something I know. Money beats soul every time. Come on.
Thank you.
For Bo Diddley and Jim Morrison and The Stu Show. Aloha. We love you guys. Thank you for listening to a three-part session. Ciao, Bella.